Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me today. Now today we are almost ready to wrap up our series, the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 7, today looking at verses 21 through 23. And in my Bible I have a little heading, Jesus speaking, it says, "I never knew you." For us as believers, as Christians, if we're familiar with this passage, this should give us a moment to pause, to reflect, to maybe do some self-examination and look inward and go, Father, is there anything in me that is of me, not of you? And if so, Father, cleanse me, make me whole, fill me more and more with your love, your spirit, your will, your ways. I think what I'd like to do today, again, of course, just read these scriptures and then we'll look at them and give some explanation for those who may not be familiar with them along the way also. So verse 21, if you can read along with me, Jesus speaking says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many great wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now, as a young Christian, this used to terrify me. Not understanding, but I would worry and think, how do I know? Could I be one of them? Is that possible? How do I know if I'm one of them that the Lord says, I never knew you? It's interesting. I can't really imagine any believer looking at this and going, yes, well, that could be me. We look at this and we go, no, that's that person over there. We look with a judgmental eye and go, well, that's them. That's that group. That's those people. We don't look inwardly. We look outwardly. I want you today to take that moment to do the opposite and look in and reflect on your heart's attitude. And let's compare this heart's attitude, our want with our ways, our will with our ways, and the way in which we think. Quick summary for those who are not familiar with this, some points. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, simply meaning not everyone who calls Jesus Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, listen to this, who will? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. There's some actions here, which is why I talk about both the heart and the head attitude. We must both want to will it and then to do it. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, what day is he talking about? He's talking about judgment day. And yes, even for those of us as believers in Christ, we must still stand at judgment day before the bema seat, the judgment seat of God. Praise God that we, through faith, can just look at Christ and go, my judgment was upon him. My faith, his righteousness, is now upon me. Praise the Lord for that. But I find it interesting that this section of Scripture comes just after the previous, where we read in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. The previous video. We spoke about their agenda and that they had a different agenda. And that agenda could be subtle. The agenda could be simply serving themselves, their own wants, wills, and desires. It could be seeking after worldly things rather than heavenly things, earthly versus heavenly. It could be these things. It doesn't have to be nefarious and so clearly obvious. Oh, that's wrong. No, in most cases, it is subtle. And it's like the Pharisees we see in Matthew 23. Mind you, we see so many different times where Jesus took to task the Pharisees. But in Matthew 23, verses 23 through to 24, he speaks of how they completely misunderstand the law, that they would tithe, you know, of their mint and dill and cumin, and they would tithe of these tiny little things, but forget the important things such as love and mercy. And their religiosity was about doing because in the doing you are seen as right, righteous. I see this section of scripture following those that which talks about false prophets, preachers, teachers, pastors. And here's my first point of examination, and this should put some fear into you if nothing else does. If you sit under one of these people from Matthew 7, 15 through 20, you are very likely to become one of those people from Matthew 21 through 23. For if you have not yet received, and you do not receive good, solid teaching, which we now see next video, the next section of scripture, build your house on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. If you are not building your house on the rock because you have been taught incorrectly, there's a very good chance that you will be one of those of whom Jesus will say, I never knew you. And I want you to understand that this is not a new concept in Scripture. This is not just a New Testament thing. I don't know how many examples I could think of. They just come to mind now from the book of Jeremiah, which I spent some time in last year. Time and time and time again throughout Jeremiah, God is saying, here is the word, take it to the people. Now, this is interesting. The word that was given to Jeremiah to the people was, you are failing. You have forgotten me. You have gotten lost along the way and you are doing your own thing. And yet it also says in Jeremiah that the people were going, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We go to the temple of the Lord and we hear the word, you know, the prophets and the law. And yes, we do this and yes, we do that. And Jesus says, no. In fact, I have a reference here, Hosea 8, verse 2. Please go and read the whole thing later. Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. And yet we know that they didn't. They were following their own version of him, but he didn't know them. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, Lord, why do you call me Lord, but you do not do the things which I say? And there are so many examples in Scripture of people who are like this. The scribes, the Pharisees. Yes, we see people seeking their own. Simon the sorcerer, Acts chapter 8. He sees people receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands and says, here's money, I want that, because his agenda was self-focused. We see Ananias and Sapphira from Acts chapter 5, holding back money. Peter says, you are lying to men, yes, but also to God. I need you to understand, folks, these are extreme cases. These are obvious cases. Easy to spot the fraud. But if you are listening to false teachers, false prophets, false pastors, false preachers, not so easy to spot, because it's good to the ear. It soothes the flesh. We have this. We have the Holy Scriptures. We call it the Holy Bible. We are to, as it says in the next section of Scripture, build our house on the rock, which is Jesus, the Word of God. I've struggled for so long while putting this together. How hard do we go? Well, I think I go as hard as Jesus does. Because it's his words that I'm speaking, that I'm preaching here at this time. If I was to package this up into a Sunday morning, it would be the entire section. Know them by their fruits, false preachers, teachers, prophets, pastors. I never knew you, and build your house on the rock. That whole section together, because there was no chapter, no verse, and so on in Scripture when it was written. Many will say, have we not done this? Have we not done that? But Jesus will say, I never knew you. Folks, here's the truth of the matter. It honestly doesn't matter whether you think you know God. The question is, does he know you? We see the warning to the 10 virgins, well, the five, I should say, who didn't top up their oil. They came back to the banquet, to the feast, and the master of the house said, I never knew you. Go away. We see this throughout Scripture time and time again. We spoke about it in the previous section, the wheat and the tares. We saw it, the good fish, the bad fish, and that the angels would sort them out, sift them out at the end of the age. Folks, which side of that fence are you going to be on? I need you to self-examine, to look inward, and see if there is a disconnect between your head and your heart. It works both ways. Your heart's desire will be for things of the flesh. Scripture tells us that the heart of man is deceitful and wicked. Do not follow your heart. Follow your head. But do not get caught up in just head knowledge like the religious. Turn your will and your ways over to those of the Lord. Jesus said it beautifully. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. That's this whole thing in a nutshell. Now, there's an active verb, I think that's the right way to say. There is action involved here. Ephesians 2 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We must become obedient to those works, just as Jesus became obedient to the cross. Understanding this, as I often and will always say, we are not saved by our works. But we read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, that having been perfected, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There is an expectation here, and I think that's what I need you to understand. We come to Christ. We are babes in Christ. Scripture says that we are, you know, feeding milk. But then we find, once we've been in the faith for some time, the author of Hebrews wrote about this, saying, how is it that you are still on milk? You should be teachers by now. There is an expectation that, yes, we come to God as we are, but we cannot stay as we are. And you cannot think that that's okay. And the process, that beautiful process of sanctification, that we become more and more like Christ in our lives. That's the process that we're talking about as you grow in Christ. Romans chapter 6 talks about our slavery. We are told that we are slaves to whomever we obey, which is why in Romans chapter 6 verse 18 we see that we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. Why not slaves to sin? Well, because that's our old person and we must put it off. The old person who had this addiction, put it off. Don't be a slave to it anymore, but rather a slave to righteousness. What is that? That is a right manner of living. And there's one thing, as I just start to wrap this up, two more thoughts. Not everyone who says to me, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. There it is again, that action. James 4:17 tells us that to him who knows to do a thing but does it not, to him it is sin. We must put off this false teaching that says there is not a manner by which we must live. There is an expectation, and as you grow in Christ and you walk in the Spirit, no longer walking in the flesh, that is God's purpose for you. I need you to understand that. I have a note here. 2 John. I think I'll finish up with this one. 2 John. And just read it. Chapter 1. Well, it is just the one chapter, so that makes it easy. Verse 7, 2 John. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Now understand this. This letter, this epistle, was probably written around 50 years after Jesus died. About 50 years. John is writing here to a lady, the elect lady, chosen by God. We don't know that much about her, but we believe that she was certainly helping a lot in ministry and to her family. And I can only assume, I don't know, but I can only assume that they have been walking in Christ for a long time and she'll be teaching these things to others. He says, many deceivers have gone out into the world. And as was the case at that time, they were not confessing Jesus as having come in the flesh. They're saying, no, Jesus didn't really come. We have different problems and issues this time. We chase after the flesh. Verse 8, look to yourselves. Here it is, self-examination, looking inwardly. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. And here we see in these two verses a correlation between false teachers and falling. Look to yourselves, folks, that you do not lose those things which you have worked for. And yes, we do work to continue in the faith. I need you to understand that. We're not talking works-based salvation. By grace we are saved through faith, a gift of God, not of ourselves, so we can't boast. But we must then continue in the faith. So how do we know we're continuing in the faith? Well, probably easy to say, how do we know we are not? Are we relying on God for everything? Everything? And the longer we walk in Christ, walking in the Spirit, we should literally be relying on God for everything. So when something untoward, something bad, something negative, something horrible happens in life, who are we relying on? Who are we trusting in? Faith in God or men? This is what I need you to understand. We must continue in the faith that God's got it, that He is our salvation, that He is our provider, that through righteousness in from Him we are made clean. This is what we must understand. Not everyone who says, not everyone who calls me Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Is that you continue in faith. Faith in Him. Don't be one of those who goes unaware because you believe that man up the front. Read Scripture. This is what I pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen.